Bear Dares podcast, we love and are encouraged by female podcasters giving helpful advice on motherhood. Mama Bear Dares aims to add to the conversation by turning the spotlight onto moms who have inspired us by doing big and bold things, in addition to being great mothers. We feature regular moms that you've sat next to at PTA meetings or smiled at while she tended to her screaming toddler in the middle of Target. These moms have started their own international nonprofits from their Lego-laced living rooms. They've come out of the other side of losing a loved one, and they've carved out time to produce breathtaking art. We dare to deep dive into what makes these women more than mom and boldly ask the questions that we've all been thinking.
So come with us as we share the stories of women who love being called mom, but have shifted the paradigm that aims to stop there. Artists, entrepreneurs, creative visionaries, social change agents, activists, all women who have tapped their mama bears and dared to live full, joyful, and layered lives. Mama Bear, we dare you to witness the ripples they've started and begin to create some of your own.
So Tessie, I was telling you the other day that Sintayu is taking dance lessons at the Junior Theater here in our hometown, and it's great. It's once a week. It's pretty low commitment, but just great teachers, great families that participate, so we're really excited. But one thing I keep noticing, and maybe you can help me sort of deal with this or walk me through this a little bit, is that for this 45-minute class, there is this huge emphasis on water bottles, and it seems that all the children have water bottles that they bring, and it's not something I thought was necessary for a 45-minute dance class, so we have not brought a water bottle with us, but Sintayu is insisting, you know, that she really needs this water bottle. She's just been adamant about it. She's also six, and So she... probably would need a reminder at least to bring her water bottle. But it's got me to think a little bit about not just water bottles, but our obsession with needing equipment that I'm not sure is totally essential to the activities that we're doing. I personally struggle with water bottle management at my home because, you know, we're involved in some sporting activities and everyone shows up with a water bottle. And so I want to be able to be a mom that is capable of managing water bottles. But we have this cupboard in the kitchen, and that's currently where I'm storing water bottles. And it's just a mess. Every time I open this cupboard, because it's also where we store hair supplies.
Naturally.
So, you know, in the morning, like, I can do Cinta's hair. But every time I open this cupboard, like, water bottles come rolling out.
Right.
So perhaps I'm very sensitive to this issue. But it really has gotten me to think and to wonder about how necessary this is. Of course I want my daughter to be healthy. Of course I want her to be hydrated, but I don't want to spend a lot of time dealing with this water bottle thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because I've spent time in developing nations and actually talked to people who live there that I sort of realized that we don't really need 8 ounces during a 45-minute dance class. I don't know if that's it or if it's because, like, I've seen that there is a drinking fountain in the studio. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but this kind of, to me, represents this larger issue of just the emphasis on comfort for our children. I think that, sure, Cinta would benefit. She'd probably love to have, I know she'd love to have a water bottle during her dance class, but she doesn't need one. She's really resilient. And, you know, children are so strong. And so I just wonder about the place that we've, or the emphasis that we've put on kind of comfort over really what's necessary.
Yeah, almost practicality. Mm-hmm. Because it made me think while you were talking of a time last baseball season that one of the moms was like, hey, I noticed that Tomas isn't wearing baseball cleats. I'm sure I could find one from a high school player that's no longer using theirs. Like, does he need baseball cleats? And because all of my kids wear their soccer cleats for baseball, for football, for soccer, obviously, because they're the same. Soccer is the universal cleat that they can do everywhere else. But baseball cleats, you can't use.
Sure.
You can't wear during soccer and football, and same with football. And so even my kids were just like, I need baseball cleats. I'm like, you don't need baseball cleats. You have soccer cleats. Those are cleats. They will help you run. You're fine. You're, mm-hmm. you know, my oldest is 13. There's not even, he's just now getting into like school sports. So it was all just for fun or whatever. And that was another instance where, and the parents were so sweet. And I mean, great. If that's your thing, go get it, you know, mm-hmm. but it also reminded me of that is just like, then we would be responsible for all of these cleats.
Right.
And that's not in my wheelhouse. It's not my forte. And I don't think it's necessary either. So between those two things, you know.
Yeah. And I think that in some circles, this sort of behavior, this sort of, you know, it's not like I'm refusing to send a water bottle, but I'm certainly not making a priority. And,
right.
You know, you're the same way, it sounds like, with these. I think it's sort of countercultural. And I would almost say, like, within this kind of middle class culture of these, there's some rituals that are kind of so ingrained that we don't really even stop to think about
right.
it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see myself even if my kids were or ever decide to be in all three of those sports, just not really giving it a thought and
right.
just being like, oh, I guess they need this and this and
right.
this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't really stop to question that. And then we kind of get caught up in this herd mentality
mm-hmm.
and really end up making kind of non-essential purchases and spending all this time and money and energy just trying to organize all your
yeah.
water bottles.
Yes, and manage all of those shoes.
Right.
So what are some other examples? Like, maybe not so much about buying things or bringing things that aren't necessary, but ways that you're doing that countercultural, non-essential parenting?
I guess we make one dinner mm-hmm. at night. And if a kid doesn't like that dinner, they can have a piece of fruit or they can make themselves a sandwich
mm-hmm.
maybe. I mean, we don't ever make, I guess, multiple dinners. And that's something that, I don't know, we just don't do that.
Yeah, we don't either. And in fact, the other day I had to break the news to Tristan and Dayla, who are my pickiest eaters, that I actually don't ever make dinners with them in mind. Because you're probably not going to like it anyway. And so,
right.
But the rest of us will love it. And, you know, it's nutritious. And so this is what you get. But they were kind of sad to hear that I wasn't thinking only of them.
Oh, that's hard.
And you and I have talked about the fact that we, before our kids went to kindergarten, didn't teach them to read. We were both, mm-hmm. obviously, we love reading. So we read to the kids every night. We did all of that stuff. But my kids had no idea how to write their names or read anything. They might have been able to, you know, recognize a word from memory, but not read it.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, during that period, and Centayu just started kindergarten, and so it hasn't been that long ago, but there's such a release of pressure when, you know, I fully accepted just the fact that it wasn't essential for them to know how to read before going to kindergarten. And I was an English teacher,
right.
you know? Like, I was fully capable of, you know, making that a priority and spending the time to do that. But I guess I just didn't feel like it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I didn't want any added pressure, you know, before they went to school. And so that's something that we just didn't end up valuing and putting time into.
Right. Also, we live in Michigan, obviously, and the amount of looks I got when my sons would show up with shorts in a blizzard
uh-huh.
was also a thing. But it was kind of like, I don't want to argue about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they choose their, I know your kids choose their own clothing too. I miss the days when Oliver would show up in a costume everywhere. But, but you know, and certainly I love when I have this friend who dresses her kid to the nines, and I just think it's the cutest thing. He's
yeah.
maybe 7 or 8. But my kids have never been down with that. And I just don't, that was another non-essential where I'm like, I don't need to fight. And I
mm-hmm.
don't want to spend the time going through their closet. And, you know, I want them to self-express. And maybe that's another form of doing that, you know?
Yeah, that's actually interesting. Because we definitely, you know, as you said, have always let our kids kind of choose their own outfits, unless it's for like an event where they don't understand the
right.
social cues
right.
of, you know, like we dress up for weddings and sometimes right. for church. Although I think Eli was known as like this kid who wore green froggy boots to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to pick that fight. Yes, you know, exactly. To me, it just wasn't important. And again, like that's our personal kind of casualness, I suppose. But that was another instance of just kind of that, I don't know what I would call it. It's not that, I mean, maybe I am like a mean mom, but I feel like I'm a no-nonsense.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes kind yeah. of mom.
And our kids are older. Obviously, if they're younger, they don't have the ability to remember to put on underwear and socks mm-hmm. and whatever. There's a line drawn there. Mm-hmm. But once my kids were able to put on all of that stuff, I stopped making it match. I stopped doing all of that. And even to this day, my kids are involved in a lot of sports. If they don't grab a water bottle, I say it one time, make sure you have a water bottle. If they don't have it, they don't have it. Right. You know, I mean, so I'm kind of the same way. I don't want to just rag on them. I need to give them some sort of agency themselves.
Word. I mean, I hear you. So why do you think, I mean, we come from sort of a similar place, obviously, on this topic. Why do you think you do this? Why is it that you parent this way?
Well, I know for me, I just really value my sanity a lot and my own time. And so I know that if I were to invest in some of these things that we were talking about, my sanity would not be intact and I wouldn't really be a delightful person. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, I think that it definitely, it just cuts down on that brain space. Mm-hmm. I think that I have to take up by managing three kids in various activities or various kind of ways that we walk in this world. So I think there's that, but I really want to just teach my kids self-reliance or just, mm-hmm. you know, I want... like Sintayu in this sort of example of the ballet class, like just find it, like be resourceful, find right. a drinking fountain. And I think it does teach them sort of that self-reliance and mm-hmm. that independence, which I think is really valuable. Even though they might complain about it
it's in true, process, right.
you know?
And I totally agree. And like we've talked about before, just because we parent this way, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the only way mm-hmm. to parent. This is a value of ours. I'll be so interested to hear how the mama bear community, if they tend to find themselves on that way or the value they see in being the mom that's always got that. Because there's some moms that are so organized mm-hmm. and they have their like bag that's like matching and they have all of their snacks, and I always wonder how they do it. So maybe some of our mama bears can tell us how they do that and what kind of value and stuff they seek from that. But I did think about how just because this is not our way of doing it, like what is the detriment to mm-hmm. our kids? Mm-hmm. So can you think of an example or how this might hurt our kids, this kind of no-nonsense parenting?
Yeah, I do think, yeah, there's definitely times when maybe I need to be a little bit more tender or just a little bit more hands-on with some of these things. I definitely have seen in my oldest just kind of his disappointment really and like being forced to shop thrift stores. Like I love thrifting. I think it's such an adventure and I'm a very thrifty person. And so, you know, it's great. But as Oliver has gotten older, he's kind of defining his own style, and it's not my style.
Right.
I think the best style comes from Salvation Army. But he doesn't necessarily agree. And so, you know, I mean, I think that's one way where I definitely have kind of budged a little bit and been like, you know what, this is important to him. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let him pick out a back to school outfit from the store he wants to, which currently is JCPenney's.
Go Oliver.
Yeah. So I think that's one way where I did notice, you know, a little bit of sensitivity, you know, coming up and in this child and wanted to be able to kind of just be sensitive to that mm-hmm. and to maybe change my no-nonsense ways so that his life could just feel a little better.
And I was thinking about that too and how my no-nonsense took a turn to go into a lot of nonsense when I asked Beenom to get his shin guards one day. We had all of the kids plus two friends.
Okay.
And we had like three soccer practices to get to and a football practice, something crazy. And so I was like, Beenom, go get your shin guards. And then I left and the house
and
drove away.
Oh no.
Forgetting Beenom was, you know, again, because I tasked him with that and right. was like, hands off. He's got it taken care of. And then, so I left, got down the road a little bit, and he's always quiet in the car, but I was like, is Beenom back there?
Oh, no.
And realized I had forgot Beenom, who was getting his shin guards. And much to his credit, I got back and he was just adorably sitting on the front steps oh, with God. Both his shin guards, mind you. So the lesson was there. But I felt terrible, and I thought that was one case where I know Beenom, he's our youngest, so he needs a little more hands-on parenting mm-hmm. than I was giving him. You know, I maybe was a little too hands-off yeah. in that situation, so just an awareness that it can go a little too far is probably
like a real-life awareness, not just Home Alone, which we all watched at Christmas time, not just Kevin right. McAllister, but oh, God bless him.
He was smiling, though. I mean, he was, Yeah. I didn't do any lasting damage, I don't think, but that was good in your face for me, so.
Yeah. I mean, so talking about just sort of that tenderness of just like, right. maybe we should just, you know, like, remember our right. children when we're going a place. Are there things that you do for your kids that you act, you know, you really believe in making happen for them?
Right. That's totally unselfish of me. And, you know, I mean, I think that's kind of not necessarily the opposite, but mm-hmm. I would say because we live further out from town, the kids, all their friends live in town. Mm-hmm. So some days I'll have picked them up from school and then drive the 15, 20 minutes back home. And then a friend wants them to come over. And because I think they're kind of in the thick of cultivating lasting friendships, mm-hmm. I'll then go back into town another 20 minutes, which is, if you like look over my parenting, mm-hmm. it doesn't really fit with how I usually parent. You know, it's usually like a, no, you should have thought of this when I was in right. town kind of way. But I also realize they're just young and don't necessarily think that far out. But yeah. So that would be one way I'm a little more tender and okay about.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think that I love celebrating. And so we do great birthday parties. Mm-hmm. And that's something where that's just something so much fun and that I want to kind of give the kids. And I know you guys don't really do
right.
birthdays mm-hmm. To the extent that we do, but I just can't help myself. Like, I love streamers.
You do.
I love cake.
Yeah. You know? And delicious food, always.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, that's something that I feel like we go over the top a little bit on birthday celebrations. I also love just kind of crafting with the kids. And so I very unapologetically am the mom who sends amazing Valentines.
I'm the opposite mom.
I know you are. I think, like, I find so much joy in
right,
that
you
I
do. Yeah.
that I would do your kids as Valentine's if they ever wanted me to. So that's something I think that, you know, I do that. I love it, but it brings, you know, it's just part of me that I'm happy to do and embrace for the kids. And there's also a window of time where that is of interest to the kids,
right,
you
right.
know, and I'm slowly phasing out of that, right. I can see.
And that's a form of non-essential parenting. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's what we're talking about here. Obviously, we do the essential parts like feed and clothe and water them
right.
as necessary. But we're kind of talking about the above and beyond that, the no-nonsense approach we take to the extra stuff. But sometimes the extra stuff is really where the fun is too, mm-hmm. where you find, because Tristan is obsessed with basketball and he's constantly kind of dribbling a little ball. And the other day it was driving me nuts a little bit to hear it bounce. And then I finally was like, get up and play with him. And it was one of those things where we were both laughing really hard. And, you know, normally I would be like, just take it outside.
Right.
But so there are little joys in embracing some of the nonsense too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting point of just just kind of in that small moment, kind of it represents that one style of parenting, which we may do one day and not the next, right. is go outside and play. Make your own fun.
Right.
Whereas, you know, on another day, you might just be like, no, I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
This is something that I want to jump into and reorganize my day or spend right. my time.
Meeting you where you're at.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think we have a great Mama Bear Dare today.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so too. So Mama Bear, no matter which side of the spectrum you come from, we dare you to choose something that you typically do, but that you know your kids can do, and let them do it. We dare you to give yourself a break and don't sweat it. Then take a deep breath and watch them surprise you. That bit's always a lot of fun. Or if you're already a no-nonsense parent, take a minute to see if there are moments in your day to engage with your kids in more tender moments. Dare to check the ego and find a few moments in the day when the kids don't need your help, but would still be grateful for it. Take a minute to think about the intentionality of the little things you do for and with your kids throughout a typical day. And whatever your style might be, own it like a mama bear.
That's right. Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate every one of you. We're so grateful for the support that we're getting here early on in our social media channels. And we would ask that you do subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our website to read more in-depth notes about our guests and find links to books and ideas that we love. If you have a mama bear in your life who you think that the world needs to know about, find us and email us. Our email is on the website. But until next time, Mama Bear, have a great week.
Have a great week.